Okay, it's Monday, time for Mitchell. Welcome back, Mr. Henderson. How are you? How goes it?
Good to be here, Mr. Rents.
Yes, sir. Well, we could be in worse places. Did you see, I mentioned this earlier tonight, but this the Trump ballroom, never mind, Trump says, I don't want you to name it after me, which means I want you to name it after me. The Trump ballroom is virtually double the physical size of the White House. It's a monstrous thing. Nobody knows that. It's huge. The White House is a little over 50,000 square feet. The Trump ballroom is over 90,000 square feet. And it'll hold 1,000 people. That's so he can make good on his promise to Dana White. He's going to put on a UFC card from the White House. Anyway, look, this has become such a rank soap opera of disgusting
duplicity. He's a showman, so he's got to have
exactly
to show
what
on,
he does.
Right?
It's Ringling Brothers all over again.
I think so.
He's going to put on so many different kinds of freak shows in there. They say it won't be done until 2029. I'll bet you that, no, I'll bet they work on that thing 24 hours a day to get it done.
I thought he was going to call it the Epstein Ballroom.
Oh, God. Shame, shame. Yeah.
So, this guy, he is off show. It's like, you know, yeah, I was just thinking today, if you look over the past 8 years, one of the most common thing when people are asked to imitate him, even little kids. I'm talking about little kids, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, who are asked to imitate Trump. One of the things they say is, big, beautiful wall, big, beautiful wall. I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall, you know, the most beautiful wall ever. And once again, he's only built 34 miles of it in his first year in office. I mean, he's such a con man.
He's the ultimate con man. Right.
About his showmanship, but a big part of it is ceasefires and what he calls peace treaty. He says it's a peace treaty, but every peace treaty that he has is a ceasefire. It's sort of like calling a man calling himself a woman. Okay, it's a peace treaty only because they call it a peace treaty. Okay, but it's actually a ceasefire.
The only part of it he's concerned with is that he gets his peace.
Right. So,
of the action.
So, you know, Trump is, being a showman, he's all about hyperbole, overstatement, and embellishment. Okay. Yep. I mean, I think everybody pretty much knows that about him. Okay. So he, you know, something like a ceasefire, he will call a peace treaty. Now, a ceasefire just means you stop shooting at each other. A peace treaty is where all issues have been resolved. And there's no further reason to have a war. So we need to start by looking at the track record of America, because this is where he establishes a ceasefire being a peace treaty. So the Korean War, 1950 to 53, ended with a ceasefire. American troops are still there. They've been there for 80 years. Okay, there has never been a peace treaty. They've never resolved the issue. Okay, we've been there for so long that my dad went there, I went there, and my son went there in the military. Three generations of American military have served in Korea now, and just my family.
Wow.
Okay, that issue was not resolved.
Yeah.
The next one was the Vietnam War, 1954 to 1973. A ceasefire they called a peace accord. Okay, this was the first time when the United States did this. They call it a peace accord. It was broken by the North after a decent interval to make it look like it was not an American defeat. In essence, what they did is the United States basically surrendered, withdrew troops, and asked North Vietnam for a decent interval of a couple years before they went on down and took over the South. they call it a peace accord, which was broken within two years in the North Vietnamese when it took the South. We knew they were going to do it, and when they did it, we didn't do anything about it. You know, we protested a little bit, baby. So, So the Gulf War in 1990 to 91, that was a ceasefire. The United States troops just withdrew from Iraq, and Iraqi troops withdrew from Kuwait. So it was just a ceasefire. It did not settle any of the issues, as you know, because it's all called, in the official military, it's all called the Persian Gulf War, everything from 1989 until the present, okay? So then the Iraq War, 2003-2011. There wasn't even a ceasefire or a treaty. It was just an American troop withdrawal. Afghanistan, 2001, 2021, 20 years, American troop withdrawal. There was no ceasefire and no peace treaty. So in other words, we haven't won any of these wars at all. Okay. So this year, Trump is trying to...
No, and by the way, if I might jump in here, Israel did not defeat Hamas in Gaza either.
No. But this year, Trump is trying to make up for all this. He's claimed many peace treaties. Okay, now keep in mind, a peace accord is not a peace treaty. It is a ceasefire and is not a final settlement of all issues, just an agreement to cease military hostilities. The first one was the India-Pakistan ceasefire in May. Trump said he brokered it, but India and Pakistan do not say so. No issues have been resolved, and it has already been violated. The Democratic Republic of the Congo and Rwanda in June, a temporary ceasefire that did not settle any issues, they're already back in the state of war. The Cambodia ceasefire in July, that's Cambodia's Thailand ceasefire, they worked out a ceasefire in July, and Trump got them to sign a peace accord in October, just so he can take credit for it, okay?
Right.
No issues have been resolved, nothing. Signed a peace accord in October by Trump. It's a peace accord, which means a ceasefire. It's a euphemism for a ceasefire. Okay.
Right.
Then the
right.
Armenia-Azerbaijan peace treaty, which is just a ceasefire and a business deal for private U.S. companies to build a road to join the Azeri enclaves in Armenia. The Azeris still complain and stir up hate between the two nations for political reasons. It hasn't solved any of the issues. And this road has not been built, and there's a good chance it will not get built, okay, that they're talking about. So it doesn't resolve any issues. Then, of course, the Israel-Hamas peace treaty in October. It is just a ceasefire. Hamas will not agree to surrender their weapons. This treaty does not resolve any of the issues that Hamas went to war over. Now, the treaty that Trump is offering to Hamas is a complete surrender. Okay, and Hamas is not going to do that. They have won world opinion big time. It would be the most stupidest, idiotic thing in the world for Hamas to lay down their guns and agree to this treaty. So you know, every day they're over there, oh, we're working on it.
They might as well shoot themselves in the head.
It's not going to happen, okay?
No.
It will not happen.
No.
The terms are absurd, okay? And if you listen to Jared Kushner and these people, they intend to move all the Palestinians out of Gaza.
Well, they're gone.
Even if it doesn't say so, that's what they want. They want to disarm everybody, and then they'll start shipping them out. They say, oh, we got to get out of here so we can do construction.
I see a possibility, Mitch, that they'll make a deal with Sisi and buy a piece of the Sinai and build them a rudimentary city, whatever, something. And then you're going to the new Israel, new promised land. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. And they'll agree. That's the only way they're going to get them out of there. They're going to have a place to take them, move them somehow. And I don't know where else the hell they can do it except in the Sinai, which is there's nothing there.
Well, I don't think the Palestinians will go along with this. And, you know, it's like when you see Trump saying, well, I'm not going to allow Israel to annex the West Bank. This is a show.
He already sold the West Bank to Miriam Adelson and Sheldon Adelson for $250 million.
Right.
He already guaranteed it to them. Yes.
It is a show. It is not. It's just to put on a show. What's going to happen is Hamas is going to break the peace treaty. Then all bets are off and Israel can annex the West Bank and Gaza. That's the story how it's going to work out. Okay. They'll just blame Hamas for... Like, Hamas shoots a couple Israeli soldiers, and they send 175 bombs down and kill like 93 people, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's they're predictable in their deceptions. Okay, in progress, we have the Russia-Ukraine peace treaty. Russia wants a final peace treaty with all issues resolved. Trump wants a ceasefire with no issues resolved. This is why Putin and Trump cannot make a peace treaty, because they want two different things. Trump just wants a quick win so he can check a box. Oh, yeah, I made a peace treaty between Russia and Ukraine.
No,
this is not a treaty. This is,
Russians aren't going to do it.
This is a ceasefire. And the ceasefire would be Russia surrendering. Okay.
Exactly.
And
exactly right.
It's just all it is. So...
by the way, if you didn't notice that the story the other day, from good sources, if it's true, Putin has decided that they are going to take Odessa. They want the Black Sea city.
Yeah.
They want the Black Sea. They're going to take it. And that's going to happen. I don't know if they'll be able to do it with negotiations. I doubt it. Not as long as the rabid Zelensky is talking. They're going to have to take it. And maybe they'll take Kharkov. It's right near the Russian border. I don't know, but they're not done. See, if Putin doesn't win with a big piece of real estate, I mean substantial, not just the Donbass, it's got to be more.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be more. And Odessa and Kharkov would qualify. All the Russian people, looking at all of their losses, and they probably lost 100,000 dead, maybe more. It's not the same.
I think it's about 150,000.
All right, well, there you go. It's 8.5 to 1 or whatever. Anyway, the Russian people will not forgive Putin for that. They've got to have something bigger, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyways, what you're just saying now also makes the point that Putin's not going to ever agree to the ridiculous things that Trump is saying.
Never.
And
happened.
Especially not. Zelensky just wants the Russians to surrender and face war crimes. That's his idea of a peace treaty. But this is not, it's not going to happen. Now if Putin goes in to take Odessa, Trump is going to be very mad and very angry. Okay, so.
He'll turn pink.
But it's all showmanship, too, because, see, like, Trump imposed sanctions on India to get them to quit buying oil. And then he just announced that, oh, yeah, India agreed to stop buying oil. No, they did not. And the Indian press came out and said, nobody said that we're not going to buy oil
it's
from Russia.
Lies.
So then what Trump did is he sanctioned Indian companies saying they can't use foreign settlements to do their business. This puts pressure on those companies. And this is his way around. And this is what he's saying is, well, India's complying with us. Well, no, India's not. Maybe those companies might alter their behavior a little bit, the named companies, but it doesn't change India's foreign policy. Okay, so this is how Trump takes this diplomatic defeat and turns it into a win, you see. But as you can see, Putin is not impressed.
With it, so. I'm amazed at how dignified they're still handling this lunatic with their verbiage and their diplomacy.
Yeah.
They're still playing it straight. By the way, Zelensky, and this is all being done with utter support from the West, if not orders, they're declaring, Ukraine is declaring its expansion of long-range attacks on Russian oil refineries. This is not going to be acceptable to Russia. They are pushing, forcing Putin into some kind of a major war footing. I don't know what it's going to be. They've got the Oreshniks. They have the new missile that they announced yesterday. It's a nuclear-powered loitering cruise missile that can literally fly around the world and just stand off until it's called in, and then it goes in. This is true.
And they can also maneuver around air defenses.
Air defenses, absolutely.
So, yep. So, yeah, it's very, very good. What this means is they can certainly strike. Listen, we maybe can strike vital places that belong to Russia, but they can certainly strike vital infrastructure here.
Oh, they can hit SAC headquarters in Omaha.
Okay. In other words, maybe they can hit the most important thing in Russia, but Russia can absolutely hit the most important things here. Okay, that would be the difference between the two places. So you know, just as Trump has all of these peace treaties, because, you know, he's on this kick for the Nobel Peace Prize, little did he know that the prize that they just announced was for 2024, and Trump wasn't even president in 2024. In 2025, right, they're not going to give it to him because the Nobel Peace Committee is woke progressives that hate Trump. They gave Obama one just because he was a black president. Okay, it was a DEI Nobel Prize. So Trump's not going to get one. Okay. He's barking up the wrong tree. See, he's just trying to build his resume, I guess, because, you know, he thinks God will look at his resume when he dies or something. I mean, this man's so out of touch with reality that who knows what he actually thinks. But the point that I was going to get to is, you know, the odds of the United States winning a war of any kind against these countries is very remote. And what would really help is if we could win a war. I mean, we've seen this before. The U.S. Embassy gets blown up in, not embassy, but the Marine compound gets blown up in Lebanon. So, of course, we invade the little island nation of Grenada and win a great victory there against a very small.
Unreal. I couldn't even believe it. How obscene, right? Invading Grenada. It's actually called Grenada. But whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's you're right. You're so
Kamala,
right.
Kamala, Camila.
Yeah.
So, anyways, this is so. What I see is, I think maybe he might go to war against Venezuela and overthrow their president.
Oh, he wants their oil. Sure.
So that he can have his big victory. A military victory. Finally,
I just thought
under
of something.
Trump, we have a military victory.
Finally. You know what else they're going to do?
He thinks it'll be easy. I don't think it'll be that quick and easy. Venezuela
is not like Grenada.
It's not like the Canal Zone. It's not like a lot of places being invaded. It is a little bit bigger.
With lots of guns.
It's got a lot more. It's got a people's militia of 1 million people. I mean, we could be facing an Iraq-like situation there with insurgents calling.
You know what else they want, Mitch? They want the oil, but they're going to get the cocaine business, too. Of course, you'll never hear about it, but that'll be in part of the loot, too. They'll get the coke business, which is huge.
Yeah, they will. Venezuela doesn't produce that much cocaine. They transship a lot of it because you need a little bit different. There's some areas of Venezuela that you can grow it, but the best growing country is like the jungle side mountains of. So the Andes Mountains, they go up pretty high, and they get to this like tundra up there, and then there's like pine forested areas and stuff. Then when you get lower down, it becomes jungle. So not down in the flat jungle, but in the mountain jungle, because you need the soil to drain well, That's where coca does the best. So that's why the mountains, western mountains of Bolivia, Peru, even Ecuador and Colombia are the best. Venezuela has a kind of a different topography and stuff. They don't really have that much of the Andes there. So they're not a good coca producing country. They're good for shipping and stuff, but they're excellent for shipping. Okay, it's the perfect place to ship from.
Well, good points, all. I don't know how they think they're going to accomplish taking off. Are they going to decapitate the existing government and quickly throw in their proxies? What are they going to do? Are they going to try and fight it out?
I think what they want to do is basically, maybe it's sort of looking like what he's got in mind is the old-fashioned coups that we used to do. Like back in the day, we used to land troops and overthrow the government and install our government, like in Nicaragua and the Dominican Republic in the 1920s and 30s and stuff, and Haiti. And this is what we used to do in all these countries. I think the last time we tried to land troops successfully was in Guatemala in 53. Was it 53 or 56? I can't really remember now. And then the last time we tried to do it to Cuba was 61, the Bay of Pigs, but that didn't work out. So, of course, we landed the Marines in Dominican Republic in 65, okay? So I think he's thinking, like, back in the old days, that maybe we can land an expeditionary force, march on the capital, and overthrow the government and install our puppet government. But, you know, let me tell you, back in those days, if you went out in the countryside, there wasn't that many guns. The people didn't have that many guns, and the governments of those countries didn't have that many guns. Okay, so that why they weren't. It's a little bit different. Even in Venezuela, you have a million armed militia, and they actually train their militia. So, you know, it's not going to be like in the old days. Times have changed. So. And you also have to realize that another thing that has changed is the Venezuelan people, they may want to get rid of Maduro and his band of Marxists, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that his opposition will welcome American troops on their soil.
I agree. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that as a given under any circumstance. No. No.
There's no huge, because
now we're captive of the media, but I am not seeing any real substantial opposition movement in Venezuela to the Maduro clan. I'm just not seeing it. Maybe it's there, but it's being covered up if it is. So I don't see the opposition necessary to really stand up and throw the U.S. off its coastline again. I don't see it. Not yet.
Yeah, well, you can tell that there is a thing. I think we, in talking about Trump and, you know, a showman, he's also a con man. He's a manipulator. So I want to focus your attention on what's going on in Argentina, okay? So Milei got elected a few years ago. He pulled out of BRICS. Right as they got in, he pulled out. He dropped the whole BRICS thing, which would have been advantageous to Argentina. But he pulled out of that. He immediately did what Trump did. He's fired everybody in the government. He shut down government agencies, He's doing all the stuff, basically, that Trump did when he came in. And the people in Argentina couldn't stand it. They hate their lives. They hate their economy. They hate their standard of living. They're suffering very bad. And Milei was looking like this month they had an election in Argentina, and it looked like he wasn't going to have the popular support to keep a majority in their Congress. Okay. So what Trump did is he did several things, okay? Before this election, to save Malay, Trump bought $40 billion of agricultural products, including beef, which will hurt American cattle ranchers.
40.
By flooding the market.
Well, 40.
It was $40 billion in agricultural products,
okay,
including beef. The beef
right.
itself is $20 billion.
Right.
But there's an additional $20 billion in agricultural goods that he is not. That hasn't been made a big deal by the press. Okay, the total package is $40 billion. Okay, they did a $20 billion currency swap, which keeps Argentine interest payments down. Okay, Trump imposed tariffs on China, which caused China to buy zero soybeans from us. Last year, China bought 54% of our soybeans. This year, 0%. Instead, China bought $7 billion worth of soybeans from Argentina. All
wow.
of this helped Malay's party keep a majority in the Argentine Congress. This bailout that he did, this was a financial coup. In other words, instead of using the military, he used finance to buy the government of Argentina. Because, see, Malay is the make Argentina great again. President. Okay, so they're like
kindred spirits. He's also potentially related to Netanyahu. They got the same last name, Milikovsky.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Milikovsky is the original name of Netanyahu, and that's his original name. They both changed it, and the word is they might be related. And Trump was, ordered in there to save Milikovsky's ass. Excuse me, Milay's ass. That's my take, and I think he did.
That would comport with Trump's personality for sure and his motivations. But he just bought their election, is what he did, and because Trump is looking at his own election coming up. But what he did is he screwed the American farmer.
That'll be his third term.
This was important because what Trump started doing in 2018 with China.
Yeah.
Is he got China to stop buying American grain products, okay? They still bought soybeans from us, but between then and now, Argentina, Brazil, these countries, they started planting soybeans, okay? Brazil has more soybeans than we do, and Brazil is in BRICS, and China is in BRICS. So the American farmers can kiss that soybean market goodbye. Just like they kiss the wheat market goodbye and the rye market and the barley market goodbye, okay? China, it is not in China's interest to buy American agricultural products. So they went, last year they bought 54% of our soybeans. This year they bought 0%. This is causing a flood of soybeans, which means they're going to have to sell it very cheap.
Yeah,
if they're not good, a lot of farmers are going to lose that. Trump has just screwed the American agricultural sector, which
new?
He ran on protecting them, and he has single-handedly destroyed them.
It's so pathetic.
Okay. Yes. He's an unstable showman.
You mentioned
in the circus, he would be the clown. Actually, is what he.
You mentioned he's got an election coming up. Well, you're talking about the midterms. Although people are saying now that Trump is going to thumb his nose at the Constitution and run for a third term.
Well, yeah, I think he might do that. I think I wouldn't rule it out. Listen. You have to understand something. The purpose of everything. The purpose of the media, the purpose of the government, what they're trying to do is they are actively trying to spark civil war, spark revolution, spark World War III, because they have to bring it down, and they want to do that. If you do a meta-analysis of the news, just look at your YouTube, everything on there is meant to piss you off. Everything on the news is meant to piss you off, regardless of which side that you are on. And these politicians, the people who are running the show, whether they be Democrat or whether they be Republican, okay, they do not have your interests at heart at all. They don't care about you. Okay, they want to manipulate you, but they don't care about what happens to you. Okay, they just don't. It's like every Democrat will call every Republican a fascist. The word fascism to me, them, just means anybody who doesn't think like they do is a fascist. Right. Now, you'll notice on the right is always weak. And they're weak because you don't hear people on the right calling the Democrats Marxists and Bolsheviks. Listen, people, they are absolutely Marxists. They are absolutely Bolsheviks. They will absolutely exterminate you if they have a chance. But see, the Republicans won't pull the trigger. They won't. They will not just come down on them. Okay. And now they're staging it such that they want the right to become frustrated. It's like the FBI on January 6th. They can round up 3,000 rioters. Okay, just common protesters. That they throw in jail for a year or more. But yet the right, when we're in control, we have Antifa people out there throwing rocks and burning things down and assaulting federal officers, and yet none of them are going to jail. None of them are going to jail. I mean, they took a person here or there, the cop car.
The judge just
dismisses it anyway. None of these people know that they're not going to suffer any serious penalties for what they do, okay? So, at best, the Republicans will pick a couple of them out to make examples of them, but they're not going to, they won't do what the Democrats will do, the Marxists. The Marxists will round you all up. If you were in D.C. that day and you used your credit card, they had Bank of America report you to them, and then they arrested you and put you in jail, even if you weren't at the Capitol, if you were just in D.C. that day.
It's true.
They're putting you in jail. Okay.
It's true.
The Marxists will, you know, this is history. Look at the 20th century. I mean, 200 million non-Marxists were exterminated by Marxists. People, look at the writing on the wall. These people called the Democratic Party of the United States will exterminate you. Not maybe, they will do it. If they ever get back in power again, you are dead. Okay? No ands, buts, or ifs. It's like,
did you hear what Mitchell just said?
Play fair. The right wants to be fair. They want to talk about things. The left does not want to talk about things. They do not want to be fair. They write on the walls by any means necessary. That means crushing you like a bug, destroying your life.
That's correct.
Okay, they don't care about you.
No.
You're as good as dead if they get back into control again. Okay?
You're 100% right.
The right will not wake up to this. They did a survey after Charlie Kirk's assassination, and whereas 68% of Democrats say violence is necessary in politics, only 3% of Republicans said that. That shows you where the strength and the power is.
Wow.
Okay. So if you're looking towards, if you're the people in control and you want a civil war, here's a big problem. If the Democrats are in charge and they're oppressing the right wing, the Republicans, just as they did under Joe Biden, there'll be no civil war. There'll be no revolution because the right just will not fight. They go out and work every day and try to provide for the family, put family first and stuff, okay? They're not going to rebel, okay? That's why with Trump in, they can get the left to violently rebel. They can get the left to spark a civil war. They cannot get the right to do that.
That's an interesting observation you make.
And we're not. And they're not. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, it's just the way that it is. Now, where else have I seen this same thing play out? I've seen nations all over the face of this earth. Okay, the right always ends up caving. Okay, they always, always, they cave. They caved in South Vietnam.
How pathetic. Yeah.
They caved in Argentina. They caved in Chile. Every country they get power in, they end up caving. Okay? They go out in disgrace, in defeat, every time. Marxism uses an organizational weapon. The organizational weapon is where Marxists get involved in every organization, basically take them over. It is sort of like the invasion of the body snatchers or something. As a matter of fact, I was watching the I think it was a 2007 invasion with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, and it was a
How did you like that compared to the first one? How did you like the second one?
Well, you know, the second one, what I found interesting about it was it was saying the people were trying to talk, the people who were not invaded yet, were trying to talk them into it by saying, oh, if you go ahead and take this infection, everybody will hold everything in common, and there'll be peace, there won't be any struggle, everybody will be of the same mind and stuff. So it was almost like they were describing Marxism, like that the invasion of the body snatchers were Marxists, and they were preaching communism and stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So this was their reasoning, their appeal to the uninfected people. And what was interesting about that movie, too, is the way they spread the body snatchers. It was they said, oh, this is a terrible disease, and they gave vaccines to everybody to inject them with the communist virus, you see.
Yeah.
Well, it was a virus from outer space, but the face of this virus was communism. It turned you into a communist, you see. They would, of course, like communists, kill people who did not think like them and stuff. They'd be very violent with you and stuff. So that
sounds like they rather successfully updated.
It surprised me that they would even. I mean, Daniel Craig is kind of a leftist guy, you know, but he's making money, so I guess he didn't care if he was giving Marxism a bad name there, because they were the invading species, you know. But anyways, this is what they're doing. They know what people's strengths and weaknesses are. They know that there's the difference between the Marxists. The Marxists are dogmatic and they're believers. They're atheists, and atheists are some of the most dogmatic people I've ever met. They are not free thinkers. They all think alike.
Rigid.
Okay, and
rigid.
They're dogmatic in their atheism. And they demand you, they proselytize, they demand you become one. And their simplest thing is, well, it's cool to be atheist. That's their simplest attack, because that'll take 90% of the people over right there, okay? Just, oh, it's cool. That's why all your big movie stars and stuff will tell you, like Sandra Bullock she's a very popular female actor, and she's an atheist, and she'll say, I'm an atheist, okay? And that's what it's all about. The cool people are atheists, you see. And if you listen to the left, they say Christians are the dogmatic, brainwashed people. Okay, well, you know, the distinction on the Republicans is the Republicans, they believe in individuality and thinking for themselves, okay? Granted that when everybody's thinking for themselves, they're still thinking pretty much mostly along the same lines. But the difference between it is somebody who's an individualist can accept that other people are different, whereas somebody who's a Marxist, a Democrat, cannot accept that anybody could think differently than they could. And they hate you if you think differently than they do. So they're the ones who have to be outside of power in order to get a revolution and a civil war going.
Got it.
You see? So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so then we have Asia, China, Taiwan. If China is ever going to make a military move on Taiwan, yesterday would be almost too late. They're really up against the clock They've got to make this. If they're going to do it, they're going to need to do it quickly. And I feel for the Taiwanese. I hope it doesn't happen. That's another big issue.
Well, I think they're going to do it by blockade. Listen, area denial is area defense. Area denial is, I mean, China, it's just, it's perfect for them. It's only 100 miles away from the mainland. They have missiles and weapons that can do this. They, if we get to war with them, we're going to lose, absolutely. They can take it back. But you know what? The Chinese would rather have a good economic year than a war. Okay, they're not warlike like we are. Okay?
Well, let's hope
they would rather have peace
along that line.
They would rather have peace and do business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a billion people they got to feed. You know, that's kind of hard work. You know, so they got to keep the machines running kind of smoothly.
Look what we're doing with 330 million.
Yeah,
I agree.
So,
time
so
frame
anyways,
on
when you look at this
time,
picture, you can see that they're intentionally beating the drums for civil war, intentionally beating the drums for World War III. This will cause the collapse of civilization. They want to cause the collapse of civilization so they can reinsert their Great Reset, okay? That's what they're not going to succeed, okay? Once things get out of control, I've been there where there's war. When things get out of control, they can really spiral out of control fast and bad and get way out of control. So I think it'll get out of control. So that's why I think I would suggest that you really need to be getting prepared now. You got to think about things like your food supplies, not just in case war comes, but in case you can't buy or sell things because of economic constraints or mark of the beast or whatever they put on you. You have to have food that you can eat, since you won't be able to go buy some. Okay, so you really have to get my book, The Final Wars: How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. Because it's coming. It's coming very fast. It's coming quickly, okay? Get the tools that you need now. Right now, they're still inexpensive. As soon as it becomes apparent that all this is coming down, food is going to get so expensive. Tools, ammo, weapons will become so expensive when this starts happening. That's not the time to buy. The time to buy now is where they're cheap and abundant.
Got it. Gotcha. I agree. Now's a good time, especially, to buy prep goods. I mean, there's a lot of competition out there because the disposable income is almost gone, and those who are able or thinking about preparing have pretty well been tapped out. And then we're talking about less than 1% of the population here. It's a huge market, but I just don't see... I don't know.
Well, sure, but listen, people, think long term. Think about this, okay? Think about your staples. Just go get a 5-gallon bucket. Pour flour in it. Pour rice in it. Pour beans in it. Okay, get yourself the cooking utensils. Realize you'll probably be at some point cooking on fires. Get yourself some of the Dutch ovens and stuff. You're going to be learn how to cook on campfires because that's what it'll be. You can make bread. You can do everything. You can cook everything on a campfire. Okay, we did it for a million years before we became civilized, you know. So you can cook stuff on a campfire. You can cook modern things on a campfire. So, you know, now's the time to not just get the tools, but, you know, get on that YouTube and just look up how do you cook this on a campfire, how do you cook that on a campfire. Now's the time. You've got these tools to learn now, okay? So, all that worship the beast will be lost, and of course, watching all this media, social media is worshiping the beast, but use this to your advantage now. Instead of watching some comedy show, learn how to cook things on campfires, learn how to make shelters, start fires, blah, 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 blah. They have so much stuff on YouTube on how to do this stuff. Just start learning this now as much as you can. Get ideas and stuff for it, you know?
Right. Right. I agree. Time's a-wasting, friends. Every comedy show you watch, first of all, isn't funny. I defy you to remember a few weeks later what you even saw. You're wasting your time. The screen is a thief. It's stealing your life. You've got things to do, important things to do. So it's time to wake up now or never. It's now or never. Anyway, time frame on Venezuela. What's your guess? 2 to 4 weeks more? Or are they going to just do it?
Well, Trump likes to, he's a showman. He likes to draw things out, make it as dramatic as possible. He's blowing ships out of the water now. This will be entertaining for a while. But eventually he's already talked about hitting cocaine labs on the mainland and stuff. And now Colombia has instilled itself into this struggle also. The United States wanted to use Colombia as a launching place for an attack on Venezuela, but Colombia has said no. So now Trump is mad at the president of Colombia. So, this guy, listen, I'll tell you right now, here we are about a year after the election, okay? But let me tell you something. If Harris had become president, you right now wouldn't be able to buy the things that you need.
Talking about running again in 28, for God's sakes, along with Grissom.
Well, the thing is that she understands that in order to do what you have to do, well, you have to do it, okay? And
she only lost by 2 million votes. Remember, that's it. 2 million votes.
Well, what I'm trying to get across is she hasn't got her brain. She just makes things up. The sky is blue, so we should light the sky.
There's nobody home.
Blue.
Lights are on.
There's nobody
maybe.
Home. Yeah. I don't think the lights are even on. I think she smoked a little bit too much marijuana in her day.
I agree.
Yeah, seriously, our leadership, political leadership, needs to quit taking LSD.
Leadership?
They need to come to realities somehow.
It's not our leadership, as you know better than anybody. And the idea that Trump is his own man is ludicrous, and we know when every time Netanyahu comes over here, we don't hear much about it. He disappears into the White House. They have their meetings. They make their plans. Trump is given his general orders. He says, yes, sir. And they go home. They've been
well,
over
you
here.
Know, there was
several
a movie
times,
way back in the 1970s with Peter Sellers in it, and it was called Being There, I think.
Wonderful
and what he was
film.
Is he was the gardener, and they mistook him for being the president. And
John
then they
C. Gardner.
Actually started following him, and they thought he was a genius. And he was actually a mentally retarded.
There was nobody home at all, and they thought he was a genius because of his.
They thought he was a genius. Yeah.
Obscure.
So being
way
there,
of thinking.
This sort of like predicted the Trumps, the Bidens, the Harrises, the George W. Bushes.
It's true. Good point.
Yep.
It did. Very good. Well, we will see. But seriously. I hope you all can do something to prepare, and I know many of you don't have the money, but just do something if you can. All right, my friend, thank you. Great job, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks, Mitchell. Okay.
Good night, everybody.
All right, that's it for Monday. We're off and staggering. Wow. How long before we all go down as a nation here? Down for the count. We'll see. Back with you tomorrow night, Tuesday. Take care, beware, and prepare. Talk soon.